The TV leader, Jim Allister, has accused the DUP of genuflecting to the Irish Language Brigade. The DUP say Mr. Allister is threatened by engagement. Let's just remind ourselves of the journey the DUP leader, Arlene Foster, has been on recently. Here she was back in February.
If we have an Irish Language Act, maybe we should have a Polish Language Act as well, because there are more people in Northern Ireland that speak Polish than speak Irish. So, I mean, this characterisation of we should have given something to Sinn Féin to keep them appeased is not the way I do business. If you feed a crocodile, they're going to keep coming back and looking for more.
And this was Arlene Foster after meeting Irish language students in Newry this week.
Well, I think what has happened is that an Irish Language Act, and we all recall what I said back in the campaign, I think the context for that is very important because it had become very much a political demand. And as we talked about Irish, its culture, its affirmation of identity through the talks, I felt that it would be good to step back from Irish language as a political demand and to actually listen to people who loved the language and who wanted to use it in their everyday lives. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm on a journey of doing that. I've met with some individuals already around why they believe Irish is so important to them.
So, is the DUP about to do a U-turn on the Irish Language Act? And even if they are, why is that not a good thing? If Arlene Foster has decided to listen, is it not a sign of a grown-up leader if they change their mind and possibly admit they were wrong? I don't know if she's going to do that or not, but she's meeting Irish Language Act. People who very, very much are passionate that it is a part of their lives. Jim Allister, the TV leader, is with us this morning. What a grown-up thing for Arlene Foster to do this, Jim, is it not?
It's, in politics, it's a grown-up thing to keep your election pledges. And during this election that's just passed for the Assembly, the DUP was very clear. They used that never word again. Well, we know they don't have a good record on never, never, never. But they said that under the DUP's control, there would never be an Irish Language Act. And yet here we are a few weeks later when it's quite clear that they're preparing the way to pay the price that Sinn Féin has demanded in respect of the Irish Language Act. And the idea of an Irish Language Act is patent nonsense. This is a sector which is already fated with special funding. It already has a exclusive north-south body with executive powers. It already has a specially funded sector in education. And the demand for an Irish Language Act is way up and beyond what is needed in order to protect any language. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to speak a foreign language. Of course there isn't. But when it has been weaponized as the Irish language has been, when it comes to the point when the demand for those who want an Irish Language Act is that it is given official equal status in Northern Ireland.
Well, you are smart enough to know, Mr. Allister, that when you have loaded your language this morning to call Irish language a foreign language, you know that it is not foreign to some of the community who live in Northern Ireland. It is their first language.
It's foreign to most people in their everyday usage. The vast, vast, overwhelming majority of people, even those who have some smattering of Irish, be it long Cash Irish or real Irish, it predominantly speak English. So it is a foreign language in that sense. And it is not a practical daily requirement for commerce or a industry or anything else to be able to speak Irish.
But it is the first language, Jim, for some people in this community. What about a bit of respect for them?
It's a hobby language.
What do you mean a hobby language?
It's something which is over and above that which is essential to daily life, in that in commerce, it's not a language in use. If you go abroad to do business, you might need French, you might need German, you might need Spanish, you'll certainly not need Irish. So it's a language which does not advance anyone economically, other than the vested interests that want to have multiple translators be paid the £80 a time when they're called out to the hospital needlessly, etc. when someone insists on speaking in Irish when they can perfectly well speak in English.
So
that's already been happening in our hospital.
So if I follow your logic, is Ulster Scots a hobby language?
Yes, it's not a language at all. Ulster Scots is a culture.
Ulster Scots is a hobby language.
It's a culture.
Is it a hobby culture?
No, it's a culture. Ulster Scots is not, in my book, a recognisable language which defines people. Ulster Scots is primarily a culture. And the notion...
And would you object, Jim, to legislation which would protect Ulster Scots culture and language?
No, Ulster Scots, we have to distinguish between Ulster Scots culture, which is manifest in our society, and the idea of trying to elevate that to what is called a language, which it is not.
Would you object to to legislation protecting Ulster Scots culture?
I don't object to protection of culture, but I also don't think that it's particularly necessary, because culture is there as part of us all, whatever it might be. I don't see the necessity for culture, and I do object to dressing up an Irish Language Act by throwing a few sweeties to the Ulster Scots culture in order to justify the main cause, that of an Irish Language Act. But the fundamental is, why would we need an Irish Language Act? What would an Irish Language Act do? Well, we know from those who demand it what it would do. It would make Irish an official language of Northern Ireland. That would mean our legislation would have to be published in both English and Irish. There'd be an issue of which is the supreme authority when it comes to interpretation. It would mean that in the public sector, those who speak Irish would be preferred for the jobs. It would mean that hundreds of thousands, millions of pounds would be poured into unnecessary translation. It means that if you...
It depends what's in the Act. You don't know what would be in the Act.
I know what the demands are.
This is complete speculation from you.
No, it's not speculation. I know what the demands are of Pobl. I've read them. I know what the demands of others who the DUP were meeting yesterday are.
But what Arlene Foster...
I know what the demands of Sinn Féin are.
What Arlene Foster's doing, Jim, is she's going out and meeting people who don't necessarily agree with her, who don't necessarily... You know, they weren't necessarily enamoured by what she said a few weeks ago. So she's reaching out a hand of political friendship to those people, and all she's doing is listening to them.
No, she's trying
All she's doing is listening.
You can dress it up like that if you like, but I think we all know that when you move from a position of saying there will never be an Irish Language Act to preparing the ground for an Irish Language Act, you're on a political journey, not just any other sort of journey. And that political journey is to meet the demands, the insatiable demands of Sinn Féin on this issue, as a move to getting a deal, because they have made that a red line issue. And it's quite clear that the DUP is about to abandon their never, never position an Irish Language Act and pay the price. And then we will all pay the price, because those who don't speak the Irish language will find themselves discriminated against in public sector jobs. They will find themselves funding unnecessary translations, unnecessary promotion of the Irish language. You know, one of these demands is that you can demand to be tried in Irish in our courts, that you can, of necessity, speak in the Assembly, for example, in Irish, and you must have translators to instantaneously translate it into English, even though you can perfectly well speak English. And if I speak in English, that it must be translated instantaneously into Irish. What utter nonsense. This is not the European Parliament, where people have their own languages.
Is it cost, or do you just not want
Northern
Irish about the place, Jim?
Where everyone speaks English.
Is it cost, or do you just not want Irish about the place?
The fact that it would cost so much, and the fact that it has been turned...
So how much is too much, Jim?
Anything is too much.
It's not cost,
money.
Then.
Sorry. When our hospitals are crying out, when we're facing the closure of A&E in Daisy Hill, when the causeway in my area is also under pressure, when our schools are facing 2.5% cuts in their budgets, and we've principals up in arms, anything which squanders money on anything is too much.
Linda Irvine's the Irish Language Development Officer at the East Belfast Mission. Linda, what would you say to Jim this morning?
Well, I take exception to be called a hobby language, because I know a lot of people who work within the sector, and they work within the Irish language. The Irish language is the language they use day and daily. So that's not a hobby. There are over 5,000 children being educated through Irish within Northern Ireland. It's a growing, it's a thriving sector. And, you know, so I think there's something very positive there, and it's something that we should support. I'm very pleased to see.
Although Jim's saying it's not, look, it's not necessary. If people want to speak the language, they can speak it. But why are we going to legislate for all this need to translate in real life situations?
Why don't we legislate in Scotland? Why don't we legislate in Wales? People in Northern Ireland are only looking for the same thing that their counterparts have in other parts of the UK.
But it's not necessary, is it? To speak Irish language is not necessary to an Irish language speaker to be able to function in this country and live in this country and be understood in this country. It's an English-speaking country predominantly, isn't it?
But there are some people within Northern Ireland who now regard the Irish language as their first language. People in Scotland are bilingual. They speak English and they speak Scottish Gaelic. Same thing happens in Wales, but there's legislation there. Are we second-class citizens in Northern Ireland? Should we not have the same rights as other parts of the Northern Ireland?
Jim Allister?
Well, of course, here goes Mrs. Irvine slipping into the language of Pobo about rights-based. The problem is, once you make it rights-based, any legislation, then our courts are put into the position where they have to constantly embrace the notion of there being a right for this, and therefore when someone, subjected no doubt to the support of legal aid, it says that their rights is being denied, the courts have to decree that they need more. And, you know, it is so unnecessary. You know, Linda comes on this morning to communicate. Does she speak Irish? No. Why does she not speak Irish? Because she knows virtually no one would understand her. So she speaks English, and she can speak it perfectly well. And the same goes for every Irish speaker. So why, at a time when our public finances are in the state they're in, would anyone want to squander money in order to pander? And that's what it is, pander to what for most people of that ilk is a political agenda, the language having been weaponized in the way it is.
Linda?
I don't think it's squandering money.
Why are you not talking to us in Irish? Why are you not talking to us in Irish if it's so vital?
Well, you're an English speaker, Jim, so I don't think you would understand me.
Yeah,
starters,
well, I understand.
So there wouldn't be much.
Well, let's let her speak.
You know, could I speak, please?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Because could I be allowed to speak in one language? Because, you know, you're not even going to allow me to say anything. Now, what I find sometimes is the intolerance of people against the Irish language I find very difficult to put up with. I can understand people putting up arguments about costs. Conradh na Gaeilge have created a document that show how money can be saved, how these things won't cost a lot of money, and, you know, how legislation can be brought in without, you know, writing some sort of a blank check. I don't agree with the blank check. I think that would be totally wrong. But what I do see, a sector that's grown, a sector that needs protected, a sector that needs respect, and sometimes there hasn't been respect shown to the language. And I can see that this morning with Jim Allister. I think it's important that do have the same legislation as other parts of the UK.
Do the models, Jim, in Scotland and Wales not reassure you that it can work in Northern Ireland?
Scotland and Wales, it's a matter for them what solutions they have. I'm concerned about the fact, for example,
that's your partners in the UK we're talking about.
Yeah, but we're all different parts of the UK. I'm concerned, for example, that in our public sector, workers will be told, as has already happened in the Mid-Ulster Council, that you must take Irish lessons because you may have to interface at the public counter with those who demand to speak in Irish. And if you don't take the Irish lessons, then you're going to be disadvantaged in the public sector. Now, that is an outrageous attempt to ostracise those who don't wish to pursue the Irish language in their own country. And that is where this is going. It is going to be preferment in the public sector for those who speak the Irish language because there's a right-based demand that you can engage with the public sector in the Irish language. And therefore, when the public sector comes to recruiting, who are they going to recruit? They're going to recruit those who can speak Irish because that is a public, that is a rights-based demand.
Patricia,
and that will discriminate against many from a unionist tradition who have no interest in the Irish language. Just as in the Irish Republic under De Valera, Irish was introduced into schools off compulsion and you were made to learn Irish.
Patricia
and
McBride
many
was
made uncomfortable and driven out of the Irish
Patricia
Republic.
Patricia McBride was having a pop at you on Twitter last night. Morning to you, Patricia.
Margin, my Stephen August, Gara, my August on Courier, Glassy Parks, the Clara, Margin.
Oh, waste your time as much
morning,
as you like.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to take part in the programme this morning. I'm going to answer your questions in English because I know that Jim's knowledge of the Irish language is limited. So out of courtesy to him, you know, and to an awful lot of your listeners, the majority of your listeners, it is acknowledged. You know, we conduct the interview in English.
To yourself?
Well, Jim, you'd know all about that, being the only member of the TVB that's elected to Stormont.
Oh, yeah, but I get listened to a lot harder than
mean,
that.
I mean, Jim, you're from Ballymoney, which of course you
know. No, I'm not. I'm from Ballymena.
Of the turf, and those comments that you made yesterday really should have been left in the bog. You know, Stephen...
I'm actually from the Ballymena area.
The comments that Jim made yesterday were appalling. I mean, genuflecting is a term that's almost solely used in the Catholic sense, and it means to bow or to kneel in front of an altar.
It's to bow the knee.
The way that Jim Allister used it yesterday was an attack on the DUP. It was clearly sectarian. Genuflecting, you know, using that word, it's offensive to Catholics, and it's also rude to Protestant people and people of no faith who use the Irish language. But going back to the essential
issue, to
the heart of the matter,
okay.
I think the DUP should be applauded for having the courage to go out and listen.
Well,
and that's what we want.
Well, let's let Jim.
This is what people who want to see.
Let's let Jim respond to you,
the
Patricia.
DUP engaging.
Well, I disagree that my language was sectarian. Genuflecting is a word in our language. It means to bow the knee, and that's what the DUP.
Have you ever heard?
Hold on, we've got to let him finish. Hold on.
That's what the DUP is preparing to do: to bow the knee again to the latest Sinn Féin demand. This time in the Irish language. You know, I could have said grovelling, it's the same thing, but I was conveying the fact that the DUP has moved so radically, so quickly, from never, never, never on the Irish language to now preparing the ground to bow the knee to the Sinn Féin demand, and that, in political terms, is genuflecting.
Yeah, but Jim, you describe this as bowing the knee and all of this emotive language, presumably during a political negotiation. People don't bow the knee to each other, it's compromise. It's adults sitting in a room and trying to come up with something that they can all agree with. You load
so
that
when,
with buying
so
the knee. Is it not compromise? Is that not what real politicians do?
So when you go to an electorate and say, we will never allow something to happen, that's just talk for talk's sake. That means nothing. You know, surely a party that says that is entitled by others to be held to account to that. Am I not entitled to remind people that the DUP said there never will be an Irish Language Act, and yet patently now they are preparing the ground for it. You know, if the DUP had said in the election, yeah, we're going to consider, we're going to go on a journey about the Irish Language Act, and it'll probably end up with an Irish Language Act. We might actually call it a Language Act in order to dress it up a little bit and not look like such a climb down. You know, is that not the way you should do politics? You should be honest with the electorate instead of pretending that we're never going to do something. Well, then, a few weeks later, preparing to do that very thing.
Brian in West Belfast. Morning, Brian. Jim, I know you've got to go.
I do.
Do you have to go now?
I need to go now, yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Jim a question there.
Well,
very quickly.
Okay, go ahead, Brian.
First point is, my two grandchildren go to Irish school, and their parents didn't send those two kids for any political agenda. First thing. So... And I mean, you come on the program. I mean, how do I explain to my two grandchildren, if they ask me, why do people on the radio dislike and talk bad about the Irish language? How do I explain to them?
Well, because sadly, your political representatives in Sinn Féin for years set the setting.
What do you mean, my political?
What
do you mean,
my political? From Belfast, for example, Sinn Féin, which is the dominant party. Told us all that every syllable every word used in the Irish language was another bullet fired in the freedom struggle, and that's what I meant when I said it's been weaponized.
My Gaelic
tongue, which has an honourable tradition, has been weaponized by those who see it as an effort to de-Briticise this part of the island of Ireland. And that's what it's all about, just as it was used by Protestants out of the
yes.
Irish Republic. So it's been used again in Northern Ireland.
You can
respond,
Brian, and then Jim does need to go. He did tell us he had to go early this morning.
He's saying there, every parent who sends children to Irish school, they are Sinn Féin representatives, they support Sinn Féin. Is that what he's saying?
I'm saying that I do not believe that in our society, where we have the economic pressures we have, that we can afford the luxury of setting up a needless educational sector, which if it is needless, can be paid for by those who want it, but at the price of the public purse, to educate people.
But you told us any cost was too much.
Use to them, will be of no use to them in everyday life, in commerce, if they want to go and go
it'll
abroad.
Be
and
use, it'll
job,
be of use to their sense of identity, Jim. It'll be of use to their sense of who they believe they are in Northern Ireland.
Yes, and they
it's about identity.
Yes, but why should we pay for an education system in Irish? For something which is of no commercial use,
it costs
go off the
no
night
school
so and learn their hobby
so,
language.
So Jim, would you ban
rather than do it all?
Right.
At the
final question,
for the
Jim.
Of making a political point.
Final question. I know you have to go. So
I
would
do.
You there? Would you therefore ban Shakespeare in school because you don't use that in everyday life? The last time I looked,
Shakespeare is at the heart of understanding the generation and development.
You don't go into a bank and start. You don't go into a bank and start quoting Shakespeare.
Well, there might be occasions when it's apt enough.
Come on.
It's a part of our English language tradition, a very cherished part of it. And, of course, a rounded education requires a tuition in Shakespeare.
Alas, Jim, for you have to go. Thank you very much indeed.
You,
good morning to you. Brian, West Belfast, if you look at this, we do have school budgets under an enormous amount of pressure. Are you sure that spend into the Irish language is money well spent to protect Irish language schools?
Well, Stephen, no one. Sorry.
Sorry.
Let's let Brian finish, then you can come in, of course.
But Stephen, no one knows what it's going to cost at the end of the day. So I have heard figures bandied about millions and millions. I listened to a minister in Wales on TV talking about the Welsh language, and he laughed at the money that was the figures that were bandied about here, and he totally brushed off. He said it wouldn't cost that much. I mean, I heard what was it, 30 million, as far as I hear now, is 2 or 3 million or something for what the Irish language needs. So let's get around the table and see what's it's going to cost.
Patricia, you want it back in?
Yeah, I mean, let's just debunk this myth that it costs more to educate children in the Irish medium sector. It doesn't. Each child receives the same per head grant, regardless of which school they're educated in. So that's one issue. But the other thing that we need to remember is what Jim Allister has said this morning. First of all, Jim Allister has said that he doesn't recognise Ulster Scots as a language. I'm sure Nelson McCausland, and there are many other people out there this morning who are quite aghast at Jim Allister's statement in respect of Ulster Scots. The second issue is you asked Jim a question about how much money is too much to support the Irish language, and his answer is anything is too much. Now, there is nothing to fear in diversity. If your sense of your own identity were strong enough, then you would be able to reach out to people with other cultural identities and not feel threatened by them.
Have a listen to Stephen in Ballymoney. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Just to put this all in perspective, if we have an Irish Language Act, will the Chinese community, will the Polish community, will they all be off to the Equality Commission asking, where's our Language Act? I mean, it's a nonsense. Let the Irish, if someone wants to speak Irish, let them speak Irish. You don't need an act. You don't need an act to allow them to do that, for goodness sake. And you're talking about school budgets. School budgets are driven to the wall. We're talking about schools running into negative equity and spending more than their allowed quota, so that they end up running in red. And then we have these nonsensical Irish language people who want an act. You don't need an act. All we need is a bit of common sense. If you want to speak Irish, speak away. If you want to speak Polish, speak away.
What about for those families who want their children to learn Irish in school?
If their school budget allows them, as long as they're not getting any more of a budget than anyone else, let them spend the money whatever way they want.
So Linda, you don't need a separate French school to learn French in school. You don't need a separate German school to learn German. You don't need a separate Latin school to learn Latin. Why do we need separate Irish language schools?
Well,
Linda.
Irish is a minority language in this country, and it's a language that needs protected. We don't need to protect the French language or the Polish language. or the Chinese language, because there are a lot of speakers of that language in their own country. But we do need to protect.
Hold on a moment. There may be some people born. There may be some people born to Chinese families here, living in Northern Ireland, who feel that's a language they want protected. Why can't they have a separate Chinese school?
Because their language isn't endangered. Their language is safe. There's no reason why they can't have a school if they can set one up. But their language is not endangered.
But I'm trying to understand.
One of the reasons that we need an act is to protect the minority language. That's the same thing that's happened in
But why
the
do you need a separate school?
And the same thing that's happened in Scottish.
But why does there need to be a separate school? Why can't it be taught within a standard school?
Well, if we teach it like we teach French, which we don't do very well, you know, where you have five lessons a week or whatever, we do that very badly. Do you know anybody in Northern Ireland who comes through the school system bilingual in English and French? Because I certainly don't, but I know many, many people who come out of Irish medium schools bilingual. And the bilingualism is a very, very important thing. And that's what people are missing out on. If you go to the Gaelic school in Glasgow, where children are taught through Scottish Gaelic, it is the second highest achieving school in Glasgow.
John Davidson wants to speak to you.
It's the highest achieving school in Scotland.
Morning, John. Morning, John.
How are you doing, Linda?
Go ahead.
And I'm an East Belfast unionist. I'm Jim Allister's politics and the DUP's politics. I wouldn't favour them. But it's cost. On the news, we're talking about health and education at the moment. And Ireland, Sinn Féin to hold us all to ransom over an Irish language act, and we need millions poured in this economy. And you're supporting them and holding this up.
Yes, I am supporting the Irish language act. No, I
know, but you're letting Sinn Féin, you're agreeing with Sinn Féin to hold this whole state up over an Irish language act, and we need, both sides need a health and education. And you agree with
Sinn Féin? Let me speak, John. Well, one of the things I would say, first of all, if we talk about Irish medium schools, I would talk about the benefits of bilingualism. And that's something I would like to see children from the unionist community get involved in. I taught in East Belfast. I know the problems with literacy. I know the problems with poor educational achievement. And I also see children in bilingual schools who are achieving well because of the benefits. I'm involved in a university programme which shows the benefits of multilingualism.
Okay. Do you buy that, John?
I also know the social benefits.
Linda, I think you're... Tell you what, my daughter's a school teacher as well, and she teaches in a school... And it's got nothing to do with Irish language medium schools or anything. It's both sides with the education is being failed on. And this is because the money's not being pumped in. And yet you, again, want to put more money into an Irish Language Act. We've no problem with money being...
Can I remind you that Irish language schools are already covered by existing legislation? They're already being set up in Northern Ireland.
Why do they need an act?
We need an act for the same reason that there's an act in Scotland and an act in Wales. There's a right to an act. There's some people...
Yes, but why do you need an act? Rather than saying there's a right to an act, what does the act do beyond what is currently available?
Can I give you my own personal opinion? Because when I first started learning Irish 6 years ago, if somebody had said to me, do we need an act, I'd have said, well, no, sure, I go to my wee class, what's the problem? And, you know, I see people being educated through Irish. And then I went over to Scotland, and it was actually people in Scotland spoke to me and explained to me about minority languages, about language.
You're still not telling me why we need an act.
Excuse me, you're not letting me finish, Stephen.
I know, but we're going to the news very soon. I need you to be succinct. Why do we need an act?
Do you know what pushed me? See, in Scotland, it says respect for the language. And when Gregory Campbell...
No, you're off on a tangent again, Linda. Linda, but you've gone off on all these tangents. Why do we... Could someone explain to me what this act will do?
Because it will give guidelines, Stephen. At the minute, we don't have any guidelines.
Well, guidelines don't have to be... Hold on, John. Well, Linda, I've said we're pushed towards the news this morning. So can I just point out to you that guidelines...
That is part of legislation.
Yes, but you don't have to stick to guidelines, and they cannot be enforced. So what would an act ensure?
At the minute, we have councils. We have some councils who do too much, and we have some councils who do nothing. Legislative guidelines will bring into rules that say, this is what has to be done, and this is what doesn't have to be done.
Guidelines do not bring anything in. Guidelines are just that.
One of the things that also brings about is a commissioner. This is one of the proposals, and at the minute they are all proposals. There's nothing carved in stone. And one of the proposals is for a language commissioner.
Okay.
That's very important because that takes it out of
Linda Irvine, thank you very much indeed.